I appreciate the Lord being so good to me, and I'm glad that, you know, when the storms and troubles and things happen, we don't understand that we can trust Jesus. And I do trust Jesus. I believe every good and perfect gift is from above, and He's been good to me. And if anything bad comes in my life, I refuse to believe it's from the Lord. And I just trust the Lord today.
If God picked up a sparrow that could no longer fly, brushed off his wounds, then watched him soar into the sky, if he's mindful of creation, on this side depend. Oh, I am his child, and I can place all my trust in they never were heard. But I held to God's hand and kept right on trusting in His Word. My plans and God's desires don't always agree, but I'll lean on His will, 'cause He always knows what's best for me.
I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus.
Trust Jesus,
He takes care of me.
Amen. Amen. That's good advice. You can trust the Lord this morning. You can trust the Lord. I got a text this morning from pastor's family in another church. Had some bad news, and some things happened, and they were questioning, if you pray and pray and pray and bad things still happen, what do you do? And I said, you trust the Lord. He don't make no mistakes. People fail. But God never fails. People let you down. God will never let you down. All right. Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning and open to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 8 this morning. I want to show you something here in the Bible. I believe it'll be a help to you. The book of Romans, chapter number 8. Now, you don't want to miss tonight's service. Come back praying. Bring somebody with you. And we'll have a good time. Looking forward to it. And expecting a great time in the Lord. So don't miss tonight's service. Our Sunday night services are really, really special. And that's when we get down to business for the church, mostly. And so it'll help you if you'll be here tonight and bring somebody. Amen. Amen. All right, Romans chapter number 8. I want to speak to you about, preach this morning a little while on a subject you've heard a little bit about, maybe you've never heard a sermon on. And that is is found here in Romans chapter 8, a great chapter in the Bible, and verse 15. I want you to look in your Bibles now so you can all follow along with me and watch this just for a minute. Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You'll have to get me down a little bit, Brother Mike. Abba, Father. The spirit of adoption is what I want you to look at there in the middle of verse 15 this morning. The spirit of adoption. And I want to preach this morning on that subject of adoption. Adoption. The word adoption is found 5 times in the Bible. Once in Ephesians chapter 1, once in Galatians chapter 4, and the other 3 times are here in the book of Romans. It's not an accident. The Holy Ghost chose to use it 3 times in the book of Romans. Well, Paul the Apostle, writing to the Romans, they understood under Roman law what adoption meant. You might not realize this as a Christian this morning, but you are not just a born son of God or child of God. You are also an adopted child, an adopted child. So we're going to talk about that for a little bit this morning. Adoption, in our day and time, you hear about a lot of people trying to adopt kids. I've met a lot of people who adopted children. And a lot of people who are trying to and on the waiting list and stuff, can be a long, drawn-out, expensive process now in this day and time. But under Roman law, things were a little bit different, a lot different in some areas. And I want you to listen to this just for a minute this morning. As I studied this a little bit and looked at it, it was a lot different then than we have it now. So when you get saved, you are a child of God by birth, and you're kin to him by blood and by bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, and then he turns around and adopts you. So it's not just like you're an adopted child. You are a real child and an adopted child. Let me say a few things about it by way of introduction. The first thing I want to say about adoption is that you cannot disown an adopted child under Roman law. Do you know that? Isn't that a blessing this morning? You cannot disown an adopted child. Now, you can disown one of your real children, but if you ever adopt one, you can never disown them. That might go against some people's theology this morning, but I'm telling you, that'll put me on shouting ground. Once that child's been adopted, he's always yours. It can never change. You can never, under their law, you could never disown that child. You could never say, hey, you ain't acting right, and I ain't going to fool with you no more. He's yours. That child is yours until he leaves this world. Now, I'm glad I'm adopted this morning, ain't you? I'm adopted. The Lord will never disown me. I'm glad of that this morning. Listen, if he disowned children, he'd have disowned most of us a long time ago. But I'm glad he'll never disown us. He'll never say, you know, God can't say, I never knew you, because he knows me. I know him, he knows me. He'll never say, I never knew him. He does know me. And I'm glad he'll never disown me. Amen. To adopt, the word adopt means to take for your own or as your own choice. It means to bring up one just like they was your real child. It means to embrace. It means to espouse. That's a good word, like a marriage. It means to espouse. It means to accept formally and officially. They accept that as their child. When somebody goes down and they adopt a child, they're saying officially, publicly, legally, that is my child now. I am their parent and legal guardian. I am their parent. They look up to me as mom and dad, and it's just as legal and just as binding and just as official as if they gave forth to them birth out of my own body. I'm glad, thank God, it's that way. That's what adoption means. You can never be disowned. Did you know, in a sense, adoption is more special than real birth? It sure is. I mean, you think about it. When you go to adopt a child, they've got a certain profile. They want a boy. They want a girl. They want a certain age. They want a certain, you know, a lot of these celebrities are going to other countries and they're adopting children and bringing them home. And that's their religious instinct kicking in, trying to make them feel better for their life. That's what that is. And I'm glad to do it. I mean, they ought to do something good. They sure have done enough bad. But most of them have a little guilt complex and want to do something good for the world. And that's the best thing you can do. Nothing wrong with that. But you know what? When you adopt somebody, you pick them. Never forget hearing this story one time about this little old boy. And he came home. He's about 8 or 9 years old. And he came home from school one day. And he came home and he was just a crying and a slobbering and a wiping tears on a cat. And his mama said, "Honey, what in the world is wrong with you?" And he's going, "Oh," he's just a bawling his eyes out and a wiping his eyes and just slobbering all over. She said, "Honey, what in the world is wrong with you?" He turned down and he said, "Mama," he said, "they told me at school you and daddy wasn't my real mom and daddy. And I was just an adopted child. I ain't have no real mom and daddy. Mom, is that true?" She thought, "Oh my goodness." She said, I knew we should have told him. We was planning on telling him. She said, "Let's go talk to your daddy." And she said, "Daddy was in there in the study." And he come in. He was still just a crying and a wiping tears like that. And he was just bawling his eyes out. And she said, "Honey, you're going to have to talk to him." He said, "Son, what's wrong?" He said, "Daddy, they told me at school you wasn't my real daddy. And they told me mama wasn't my real mom. And I was just adopted. And they said, I didn't have no real mom and daddy like they did." And boy, he said, the daddy looked at the mama. And the mama looked at the daddy. And she said, "Go ahead and tell him." And he sat him down. He said, "Son, I want to tell you something." He said, "It's true." He said, "I'm not your real daddy. This is not your real mother." He said, "We're really not. You are an adopted." But he said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "That day when we went down there to that adoption agency, he said there were 78 babies lined up across that room there. And he said, out of all them 78 babies, we picked you to be our little boy. And he said, you're not adopted, but we chose you out of all them." And boy, he lightened up. I mean, he could smile come on his face. He said, "Hallelujah, that makes it different, don't it?" He said, "It sure does." And so the next day, he went to school, buddy, with his head up like this, his chest stuck out. He walked in there with a smile on his face, and somebody said, "Well, what's wrong with you? You left here crying yesterday. You ain't got no real mom and daddy like us. And he said, "I'm gonna tell you bird something right now." He said, "It's true." He said, "I don't have a real mom and daddy like you got. I don't have a real parent like you got. I am adopted." But he said, "I want to tell you something right now." He said, "My mom and daddy, when they went down there to get me this, 78 babies lined up across that room." And he said, "Out of all them 78 babies, my mom and daddy chose me." He said, "Your mom and daddy had to take what they could get." He said, "But my mama chose me, and my daddy chose me." And I said, "Praise God, hallelujah." That's the way it is with the Lord. You know, we're not only adopted, we're chosen in Christ. And thank God, the devil just had to take whoever he could get. But I'm glad, brother, I'm an adopted son of the living God, and I belong to him. He picked me. He saved me. I belong to him this morning. Amen. Now, that's as far as I'm going to go on that. I'm not going to get into a bunch of ridiculous doctrine that God chooses some to be saved and some to... God chooses whoever trusts Christ. That's the way it goes. There's a thing called adoptability. And you're not adoptability. You don't reach adoptability until you make yourself available adopted. And that's where you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We won't have time to get into a theological discussion. But anyway, you cut the cake, brother. It's a pleasure and it's a privilege to be his adopted child. Now, after the adoption, I want to say a few things about it this morning. And listen, after you are adopted, when you got saved, you became a child of God, and then he adopted you
into his family. Notice, after the adoption, under Roman law, do you realize this? Under Roman law, when a child was adopted, and you got to remember, in those days, they didn't just adopt babies. Most people adopt. They adopt a baby so they can raise it and try to feel like it's their own and give it a mother's love. And they didn't just adopt babies. There were people whose parents died. There were people who had something wrong with them. Maybe they were had a problem physically, mentally, something like that. And their family had died. They didn't have nowhere to put them back in those days. So people adopted people 20, 25, 30, 35, and adopted them and kept them. Now, under Roman law, I want to tell you something. You know what it said? They said, under Roman law, when a person was adopted, according to the law, they had no past. How about that for shouting ground? They had no past. Amen? It didn't matter what their past was. When that judge slammed that hammer down on that gavel down, and he goes, bam! Legally, they're yours. They had no past. Nobody couldn't come and drag up something they'd done 5 years ago. Nobody couldn't come up and drag up something they'd done last week or last month. I'm going to tell you this morning, thank God that person started all over again. Life was new. They began a brand new life with a brand new family, with a brand new home. I'll say more about that in a minute. And they started all over again. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning, thank God. Listen, when Jesus signed my pardon and when the Lord saved you, I mean, he slams that gavel down, brother, on that desk and declares you righteous. You have no past. Amen. Your past. Don't you let the devil drag up your past. Don't you let your kinfolks drag up your past. Don't you let the brethren drag up your past. They're led by the devil. It's the devil's job. Listen, everybody's got a past. We all do. I do. You do. I thank God, brother, when you're adopted, your past is gone. Amen. Say amen right there. Listen, when a person goes around digging up people's past, and I know a bunch of them that do, thanks for Nosebook, thanks for the internet, people get on all the time, I'm going to see if I can dig up on this. There's a certain church having problems right now, and people's on the internet all over trying to dig up junk on their preachers, the past preachers, some of them dead and gone still trying to dig up junk. I'm going to tell you, you know who they're led by? They are led by Satan. God don't do that. God don't do that. Listen to that. When God forgive you, he declared you righteous. He put your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. Put up a no fishing sign so the devil can't drive them out. And brother, you have no past. What a shot on that this morning. No past. I want to tell you something else. It was illegal to bring up their past. It was illegal. You say, well, they done it. Sorry, they just got adopted. They starting all over again. In other words, if you was a criminal back in them days, be a good idea if you'd find somebody to adopt you. Amen. Amen. That's right. And I'm telling you, if you broke God's law here this morning and you've been wicked and living like a devil, you need to get adopted and your past will be all forgiven. Amen. I'll tell you something else. Under Roman law, when somebody was adopted, those Romans, they understood what Paul meant when he said adoption. He said it three times. You know what they said? They said, you have no debt. No debt. I mean, he might have owed everybody in the country. But brother, when God declared him, or that judge slammed that thing down and said, you're adopted, all his debts were canceled. There's some people lost some money back in them days. I mean, an old boy got adopted and he owed you money. He was declared forgiven. I'm trying to get across to you this morning. It's starting all over. I know people that's been saved for years and they're still hung up on their past. And they think God can't never bless them. And they think God can't never use them because they messed up. Maybe they got out of sin. Maybe they committed adultery. Maybe they got an abortion. Maybe they done something terrible. And they think, I can never be clean. That's a devil lying to you. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You're washed in the blood. You're washed in the blood. Well, shout about that this morning because you have no debt. Well, I tell you something else they got. They got a new name. We got a new name when we got adopted. We got a new name when we got adopted. You know what? You took on the name Christian. You know how they call you Christian? They call them Christians in the book of Acts because they were like Christ. They acted like Christ. They walk like Christ. They behave like Christ. They talk like Jesus. They acted like Jesus. And they call them Christians. Christy. A little Christ. That's what that word means. They like Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning we have a new name. Not only that, we have a new family. I like that song we sing. Says, you may notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family. And these ties are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all feel the, you know, and that's what that song's about. I'm glad when you get saved, you automatically become a part of God's family. I remember when I first got saved, I started going to revivals and stuff, and I get up and I'd hear them old preachers, and I don't know if anybody else, I'm sure there's other people felt like this. When I got saved, I went to church, and them old preachers, they'd get up, and they'd say, I'm going to tell you something, brother, and I'm going to tell you something, brother, and brother, and I thought, why do they say brother so much? Did anybody else think something like that? I remember thinking that. I thought, what's all this brother stuff? Who is his brother here? Around? I didn't understand why preachers always said brother. And everybody said, hey, brother so-and-so. And hey, you know, there's a reason for that. You know why that is? We got a new family, glory to God. Hey, man, we're brothers and sisters. You're stuck with me, buddy, if you're saved. I'm your brother in Christ. Like it or not, I'm going to be in heaven. I belong to God's family. There's a lot of times I'll go to Walmart, and it takes 15 minutes to get to the first aisle because I run into my family there. I run into my brothers and my sisters. I go to the post office. I run into my brother or one of my sisters. My family lives all over this world. I got brothers and sisters all over this world, brother. Our Father's in heaven. Every child of God, you get a new family when you get saved. Don't you ever feel like you're lonely and deserted and you're all by yourself. If you're a Christian, you've got a big old family this morning. Amen. Not only that, you get a new home. You get a new home. Now, you know what? We ain't got to move in our home yet, but buddy, we got one coming. Amen. We got one coming. You can get in the family, and you get a new home. You say, how do you get in the family? You get saved. Tell you what happened. We had 12 kids saved at Bible school this week, and then Thursday, I got to lead a young man to the Lord, a 13-year-old boy. It's a blessing. I've been saying, Lord, I ain't got to lead nobody to. I ain't got to win nobody to the Lord lately. And the Lord, let me win him. Once in a while, I run every day, but once in a while I don't get to play ball for a while. It's been about 6 months since I've done this, but I'll go to the gym. I hardly ever go to the gym. But I went Thursday morning. I like to be outside and play in the gym in the winter, but I went Thursday morning. And I run a mile. And then I shot basketball, and I was going to run another mile. And I was over there, and I was sitting there. There wasn't like three people in there. Me and took a couple of three kids down there. There was a 13-year-old boy on the other end. And I was sitting over there, I was shooting free throws. And I was just minding my own business, thinking. And he came over to me. He said, can I ask you something? I said, sure. He said, how you hit so many free throws in a row? And I said, the Lord sent him over here. I said, practice, man. I said, you got to practice. I said, when I was your age, that's all I'd done. I said, how old are you? He said, 13. He's taller than me, though. About that tall. I said, man, you can... I showed him, I said, you got to break your wrist. You got to break your wrist. You can't shoot like this. I said, you see something like that? What's wrong with old Shaq? You know how come Shaq can't? He shoots like that. You got to do that. You got to break that wrist. And he said, oh, okay. And I said, it's got to spin. If it ain't spinning, you're going to miss a bunch. It's got to spin. Because it's going that way, and that spin slows it down. And it'll go in a lot of times when it don't. Well, anyway, I give him, and I thought, you know what? The Lord didn't send him over here for me to tell him how to shoot free throws. I said, you go to church anywhere? He said, well, we live in Tennessee, and we're down here for vacation to see my grandma. And my grandma goes. I said, what's your name? He said, Isaiah. I said, you got a Bible name. I said, you got a Bible name. Whoever named you that must have loved God. And I began to witness to him. I said, Isaiah, have you ever been saved? He said, no. I said, you believe the Bible, don't you? I said, come here, let's sit down. Man, and the other two left. There was nobody in there but me and him. And boy, I said, God, get on this boy. I was fresh out of Bible school. I was feeling good anyway. I was about to shout, have me a time. I said, you know, you've been fishing and you got one. You go, I was just reeling him in. I was just taking it in. I said, there's only four things you got to know. I'm telling you, you got to get adopted. You got to get in the family. I said, number one, you got to know you're a sinner. Number two, you got to know there's a price for your sin. Number three, you got to know Jesus paid that price. And number four, you got to accept it. I said, right here, if I prayed with you, Isaiah, would you ask him? He said, yeah. Me and him prayed. I prayed. We prayed. He prayed. I mean, we had a time there. I said, hallelujah. Did you mean that prayer? He said, yes. I said, God just saved you. You say, preacher, a 13-year-old boy ain't going to get saved in the gym. I'm telling you what, if he called on God the minute he did, he got in the family. He was adopted, a child of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just how simply, that's how I got saved. That's how you got saved if you didn't get saved. Amen. Amen. You say, boy, I'd like to win somebody. They're everywhere, people. They're everywhere. And turn your nose book off and go knock on some trailer doors this week and you'll find somebody wanting to get saved. I'm telling you, thank God. I'm telling you, thank the Lord. You get a new family when you get adopted. Say amen right there. Get a new home. I heard about this guy. His preacher goes on a lot of mission trips. And when you go on a mission trip, he said over in Jamaica and stuff, these natives that live there give him all kind of stuff. They give him bamboo and all kinds of weird fruit nobody's ever heard of. But he said, you can't just bring that stuff back in the United States. Ain't that right, brother? They won't let you just, because you're bringing in diseases and weird bugs and mad cow disease and killer ants and no telling what. And we got enough here in the country. And he said, I know I'd never make it through customs with all this stuff. You can't show up with weird looking bananas that long and crazy fruit and stuff. He said, when you get to customs, there's a, you ain't, that ain't coming in here. You ain't letting that don't come in the United States. No. We got enough problems, can't bring that in. This is your home, and you brought that stuff from that other country. I got thinking about that, and I thought, you know what? That's where the Lord is. When you die, the Lord's got this automatic custom that we're going to go through. And you know what? There's going to be somebody up there and say, oh, that's family's coming home, Father. And the Lord's going to bring us in. He said, now listen, you can't bring no drugs in here. We don't need them. There ain't no medicine. Not allowed. Throw it out. You can't bring no wheelchairs in here. We don't need them. Nobody here needs a wheelchair. Hey, I told that boy, I told him at Bible school that night, you don't need no, you ain't going to bring no medicine in here. You ain't going to bring no hospital beds in here. We ain't going to bring, you don't have to bring no glasses in here. We don't have to bring no crutches in here. It's not allowed. In this home, everything's right. Everything's perfect. We're all going to be healthy. We're all going to live forever. Never get sick. Never have a problem. Thank God that's our new home that we're going to. You believe that? You believe that? Don't do something to you. And then the last thing I'll say this morning is, you know what you get? You gain access. When you were adopted under Roman law, you got access to everything the Father owned. Everything is His is yours. You know the Bible said we are joint heirs with Christ. That means everything Jesus gets in heaven, we're going to get part of it. Now, if that ain't a deal, you tell me what is. The only thing that keeps you from shouting, you sinning, or you don't believe it. I mean, shouting inside. I know everybody ain't demonstrative like I am, but listen, brother, that'll put a shout in your soul if you believe that this morning. Everything Jesus has, I am a joint heir with Christ. Amen. Think about that. We don't wait on the Father to die. I heard a story the other day. You know, a lot of people in this world are waiting on daddy or mama or grandpa to die so they can get his inheritance. They are. They really are. I've met people that said, well, just as soon as mama dies. And I almost like they're wishing. That's awful. That's awful. She ought to fool them and will every bit of that stuff to somebody else. Yep. Amen? That's what I'm going to do. If they start wishing I'm dying, buddy, I'll just give it all to church or something. I am giving part of the church if I got anything. But I'm going to tell you something, brother, and you ought to too. But listen, the church has done a lot for me. Amen. God's been good to me through the church. And I want to remember the church. But you know what? You don't have to wait on the father to die. Heard about a little boy. He came to his grandma one time. He said, "Grandma, can you sound like a frog?" And she said, "What? No." He said, "I want to see if you can sound like a frog, will you?" She said, "Honey, what are you talking about?" He said, "Daddy said when you croak, we could all go to Disney World." That's awful. Ain't that awful? When Grandma croaks, we'll get to go to Disney World. But there's a lot of this. We don't sit around and wait on the Lord to die. He ain't going to die. He ain't going to die. Everything that's His is mine. The mansions. You say, "I'm going to get to live in a gold, in a mansion." All right. You ain't going to just get to live in it. You're going to own it. Part of it's yours. Build my mansion just over the hilltop. We are joint heirs with Christ. I've had people tell me forever. They'll say, "Brother Danny, I don't mean to sound disrespectful, but what are we going to do in heaven all that time? I don't know what all we've got. Maybe God's going to take everything that's fun here and make it right and glorified and make it 10,000 times better there. I don't know. I don't know how we're all going to... I know this. Job said, he said this. He said, "I will be satisfied when I awake in His likeness." You will be satisfied. You're going to be satisfied. You may not be satisfied down here, but glory to God, we'll be satisfied over there. You may not have it all down here, but thank God we're going to have it all there. You may not have everything you like down here. Everything may not turn out like it ought to down here, but thanks be unto God, we'll be satisfied when we get over there, and we'll never be bored. We'll never be tired. We'll never be lonely. We're going to have our joint heir account. We're a millionaire. We're going to be a millionaire. Join in on the inheritance. See, when a kid was adopted, they automatically got everything the father had was theirs. And nothing can change that. Thank the Lord, when me and you leave this world, everything God's got in heaven will be ours. That's a pretty good reason to want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven even if it wasn't a hell, because I wouldn't want to miss something like that. And I wouldn't want to go to hell even if it wasn't a heaven, because I want to go somewhere that awful. You get a double blessing. You miss hell and go to heaven. I've been adopted. How about you? Let's stand with our heads bowed. Every head bowed.